Welcome back to our podcast, Queer and Allied, into our episode, an interview with Manusha, a lady who happens to be trans. Our podcast is complimentary podcast to our magazine, Queer Nama. Though we are forming our own identity and going beyond the magazine sometimes, I feel, because I think this whole stuff is not there in the magazine. I should know. We represent Queer Nilayam, a support group based in Hyderabad, which conducts weekly virtual meets. We are trying to take it to physical meets, but again with this corona third wave, fourth wave, I don't know which wave is going on, but whatever it is, but people are afraid. And monthly book club meets, which no one attends except for me and Riddhi, despite threatening, begging. So for whoever they are listening, do come. And occasional meetups for party, yeah, that one has a lot of attendance. The music club is gone, please let's not discuss it anymore. And back to your host, I am Vikram. I identify myself as non-binary and with the pronouns they, them, or anything you want to call me, I don't mind. And about the TV shows which I've watched, actually I've not watched much. I just watched few episodes of Never Have I Ever, and it has one of the leads is gay, so that's slightly interesting, but the story is, I mean, I don't know, for the first few episodes it's not going anywhere, like not showing any new territories or something, or uncharted territories, that's what it's called, right? But it's going in a very conventional way, but let's see, probably it might surprise us in the coming episodes. I didn't watch any movies which are queer. And coming to the books, yeah, I've read a few books, more than a few books, I guess. So, but the, to mention specifically, I have read Because I Have a Voice, a 2004 book written by Arvind Bahn, edited by Arvind Bahn, Arvind Narayan and Gautam Bahn. Yes, I got their names right. So, this, I feel it's a seminal book for anyone who wants to pursue queer activism in India, because it shows us multiplicity, it shows us multiple viewpoints, and about how they and how everything progressed, and it's the nearest to Stonewall reader I could get in India. So please do check that book out. Then I have read Mrs. Dalloway as a part of our book club, Virginia Woolf, everyone knows her. And that stream of consciousness, the way she flits from one character to another, was slightly hard to follow in the beginning, but then once I got hooked to it, I could not stop the book until I finished it. And so much so, I wanted to read the follow-up book, which is not by Virginia Woolf, by Michael Cunningham, The Hours. It's the book, book is about when Virginia Woolf writes about Mrs. Dalloway and her mental state at that time. So, slightly disturbing book, I should say, The Hours. But still, extremely beautiful book. I think it won the Pulitzer Prize award, Pulitzer Prize also. We are covering one gay artist per episode, and this time we are covering Shea Diamond. And enough of my useless banter, let's jump into the main topic of the day. But before we jump into the main topic of the day with Manusha, with our beautiful Manusha, for the ardent fans of Riddhi and Harsha, you'll be disappointed that they are not there in this episode. Please don't feel disheartened. They are going to, I promise you that they are going to host the future episodes. And so bear with me, that's all. So now let's jump into the interview with Manusha. Small forewarning, there is a small technical glitch after 5 minutes. I tried to edit it, but with my editing skills, I guess I have not done anything about it. So the audio might be switched off for a second or two, and then it will resume because of the connectivity problems, because we both were not there at the same place and we were connecting over Wi-Fi and all. So the rest of the story, I'm sure you know better than me, how bad Wi-Fi works. Okay, enjoy. Hi, Manusha.
Hi, Vikram.
Hi. So we'll start our interview. So would you like to introduce yourself, Manisha?
Yeah, Vikram. My name is Manusha. I'm 34 years old. I've been, I'm a transgender woman. So my pronouns are she and her. So I started working in Wipro recently. I have 9 years of experience in IT industry. So I did my M.Tech in information technology. So I've been staying in Hyderabad since 11 years. So I have two dogs. So I'm alone. So these both keep me engaged all the time. So that's the brief intro about me.
That's wonderful, Manisha. So let's go move on to our icebreaker question. Tell me about your dogs. And like I'm like I ever since you sent me the picture of them, I was like, I really wanted to ask what the names are and all. Tell me all about them. Then I'll tell you about my dogs.
Hey, okay. One is Maggie and the other one is Cushy.
Wonderful names.
Maggie's 1 year 2 month old Chow Chow, and Cushy is 11 month old old sheepdog, old English
Okay.
sheepdog.
Yeah.
So yeah, both are girls. So very very active and affectionate dogs, and now these two are my world actually. So I have a routine completely filled.
Which revolves around them, I believe. Hello? I think I've lost you. Did I now?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you. So
Okay.
even mine are also two dogs, both are girls, Ariel and Murphy, A and B, so that I don't forget.
Okay.
But and they're also my life. Like I think my whole day revolves around them.
Yeah, exactly.
Similar
Of
to what
course.
you said.
Yeah, they keep us busy, and there is no more depressions or no more low times in a
Oh,
day.
totally.
Yeah, they keep me busy actually. So I take them for a walk 3 times a day, and I feed them 3 times. And Maggie doesn't eat herself, so I need to feed her by hand every day. She's a bit stubborn; she won't eat, and she'll play all the days actually. So
I had the same problem with Ariel. Oh God, that girl will not eat at all. I had to literally run around her to feed, but now she has gotten better. But my dogs will get really jealous of your dogs if they find out that they are going for 3 times a day walk. I don't take them that many times. It's been raining and all no, nowadays, so I reduce the number of walks actually.
That's very irritating actually, because these two have a lot of fur on their body. So whenever I take them out, if it's raining, I need to wash their entire legs and fur everything, because it'll be very dirty. So I
True.
wash them and keep them in a better hygiene every day. So
I
Maggie, yeah.
tried to buy shoes for my dogs, but they completely rejected it. They are like, no, we are not getting them. We are not wearing them at all.
They'll remove it, right? Even though if we forcefully put on them, they'll try to get it off.
True. So Manusha, tell me about your journey with gender and your perception about it. Like, tell me about your personal journey if you're okay with it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, see, generally, I mean, in my view, There is this kind of, you know, stereotyping kind of things, you know, if we, I mean, the society gave us some names, you know, scientifically they have given some names, whatever it might be. So if we are, I mean, in my perception, like, I feel like, you know, I know what I am. So I just want to keep that way. Like, I'm a girl. I feel I'm a girl, and I. Hi.
Did I lose you there? But not.
I think, you didn't hear me at all, right?
I heard you about the parts you saying that you feel that you are a girl.
Yes.
And after that, the connection went away.
Okay. So, I know I'm a girl, and that's not about a feeling as well. Like, I wanted to say, like, I'm a girl, but, you know, you know, there might be some, you know, stereotypes of definition, by definition, like, this should be like this and this should be like this. A man should be like this, a girl should be like this, whatever it is. So I feel, you know, I feel uncomfortable. I used to feel more uncomfortable when I used to, you know, introduce myself to someone as, like, I'm a transgender woman, or whatever the society or the study decided, you know, the categorized, you know, things. I used to feel very, very shy, or very, very in, you know, uncomfortable, because every cis people, you know, they don't have a choice, thing to describe themselves as something, as a man or as a woman. But I used to be subconsciously very much scared. Whenever I need to talk to someone, I used to give them a heads up that I'm a transgender woman, so that they won't be any, you know, they won't be shocked, or, you know, they, because of hearing my voice or something, appearance, or whichever they might think it's a bit odd or something. I used to think like that, and so I most of the time, like, because of the, you know, lack of information for the society, or the way they take, I use that transgender woman word very rarely. So within my world, or my belief and my birth from my childhood, I know what I am. So I'm still trying to, you know, see those days where people will accept without any, you know, tags or anything. Like,
exactly.
it should be clear. You know, I don't even like the categorization like this, because the orientation might be different, but the identity, whatever they have taken, should be you know, as simple as everybody. Like, it should be easy for everyone. It shouldn't be, you know, I've completely started transitioning from 1 year. Before that, I used to live in my role, I mean, like, however I wanted. But everybody's life have their ups and downs, of course, I know that. But for people who have some kind of this kind of small things, like which society is still yet to learn. So I faced a lot of things in my life. I've actually been, you know, you know, kept in a hospital. I was taken to a hospital. I was forcefully, you know, made myself to, you know, agree that I have a problem or something like that, and they tried to treat me. They tried to get me married. Several things happened, and the one who came into my life, I don't know what to do at that time. The other people from the other family also involved in my life, and they shattered it, everything. Like they exposed myself without my concern. They spread my photos everywhere, and in my entire family, they have opened up before I could tell them. So they started to open up and blackmailing me. Several things happened, and that my family was devastated. So around 2 years of mental agony, completely into depression, you know, dark times. I was completely, you know, still I'm on antidepressants, a very mild dose, actually. I was too much of pressure during that time, but I stopped my, you know, work also. I stayed at home. Even my parents were not sure what to do, and later on, slowly I gathered some strength. I observed everybody, and I've been with people. My psychiatrist, actually, she helped me a lot. She guided me how to be. This doctor is my own choice. So I went to her secretly, and I opened up to her completely, and I told her this has happened. So she guided me very well. Then I have explored all the things which are involved in my transitioning. I've informed my parents, so that I wasted my life till now. I don't want to cheat myself anymore. I know what I am, and I want to be myself. I don't want to hide, or I'm not doing anything wrong, or I'm not doing any crime. I'm just being myself. I'm being happy. That's it. I'm not sexually interested or in any kind of pleasures or something. But this is my life. This is what I am. I'm missing everything. So I just want to live myself. So they didn't agree as usual. So you know, like, my age is also a factor. So obviously, parents would be, you know, parents are the first people, like, who are not easily acceptable to these kind of things. I don't know, like, maybe if I have a kid, I would understand, but they don't have such kind of exposure. But I don't know, like, I can't blame them, but I still don't agree with them. So so they have told me not to be myself in this area, like where my neighbors and my family people were nearby. So I had to move out from the place of my parents' place. So still my parents are supportive financially, but they are not comfortable with my choices of life. So slowly I've been I didn't go completely against to them. I just kept silent, and I stood my ground, and I completely did all the exercises like my psychiatrist explained to me the process and the results. So after that, I developed some confidence in me, and then I've tried to do a job. So I searched too many jobs actually with my new identity. But since I didn't have any government IDs on me, I couldn't find any proper job. So that was also a big thing to gain, actually. So later on, I've cracked an interview with Wipro with my same old technology. Then they have agreed to accept my new ID without any supporting government IDs. So that was a big thing from a big company. So those HR people helped me a lot. They have given me my name, my ID, and everything was in supportive to me. So I started with a new completely fresh life. So now I'm staying alone, and I'm still in a in a zone like in complete research of the things, like how can we make these things better for anybody, like any new people or any early young people who are still finding some difficulty or something like that. So that's why I used to search because these psychiatrists also didn't share any contacts with people who are suffering like me, since it's some that was kept confidential. So once I searched in Google, I found your group, Queer Nelim. So I thought, okay, let's drop a mail to them. We'll see if they can respond. So I got a mail from Jayanth, and I was happy, very happy. So I can talk to people. I can have some friends. I have a brother, elder brother, and he's in US. He has he's settled there with his family. I don't have any support from him. I don't have my parents' support or nothing. But in our life, to go forward, we need to have something to support ourselves, like a job, something, some earning. Which definitely helps us in some way. We can't even imagine such kind of scenarios. Every people who are trying to I just want to tell you one point. This is very important thing which I feel. Whenever it comes to the point of sex or sexual identification or sexual pleasure, whatever which is associated with the word sex, every people are worried, everyone are focused on it. What I have observed is like these parents, more of the parents who are 45 above or something like that, they if a man who is not able to perform in his sexual activities, that's the biggest blunder in his life, and he'll be objectified in many ways, and that person life is ruined completely, definitely, if it's a sexual defective thing is there in his life. And similarly, if a woman is wearing man clothes, or if she's behaving like a man, it doesn't seem odd to anybody. As a man, a person looking like a man, and if the person is dressed in a woman's wear, or feels a bit sensitive or whatever, if he's sensitive, he'll be almost killed by the society. Because everything matters is sex. If he's strong enough in a sexual thing, he's considered as a man. What I've understood, upon my experiences only, I'm talking about this. I'm not telling about the general people. It's just in my view, my experience. I see only love and humanity in any people. If we have some person in our life, if they are sexually inactive or sexually some issue, Isn't there anything else? I mean, we have the person, right? We have the love and affection, right? Now, when the society is completely focused on only that point, so there comes these issues like this person is a transgender, this person is gay, this person is lesbian. What the hell? because they are focused on sex. That's it. They know only one thing. Man had to do that to a female. That's it. They'll have babies. That's it. The babies need to follow the same thing. That's it. If at all there is a difference or a failure in that sexual scenario, either of the person would be targeted. Either maybe the woman or the man, whoever it might be, they'll be targeted. And they'll be, of course, everybody knows that. You know how society reacts to that, right? In my case, that was a big blunder in my life. Like, because I have expressed myself to everybody. Not everybody. To the person who I need to. I was forced to talk to. So that person lied to me that everything was okay, and secretly, like, they have collected some data, some photos, some messages, something like that, and they were pointing out everybody. I mean, they are blaming my parents. They are doing lot of stuff. They are blackmailing us. Several things happened throughout my family, and because of that, my parents considering it as a scenario is okay, and because of this, my relatives were not only having that look on me, including my parents also, they were pointing out like there is a problem with you, your family, because Manusha is like that, so something like that. So even my parents were having that that way, actually faced that way. So what I thought was like, okay, I had a good talk with that person. So when I had that good talk, I only saw the human thing on that person, like in that person actually. So I thought that was the connection, but that's not it, because I couldn't I'm not the pleasure giver or whatever it is. That's it. Everything fell apart. So then slowly I thought of I just did some research in my experiences and my other people, friends and experiences. So what I understood is, when this society is completely based on reproduction and sexual thing, that's it. Because if that thing doesn't change, these categorization of people, their orientation, everything is different, everything is different, everything is, we need a separate community, we need reservations, or we need something supportive, we need to get a group. This minority kind of thing will emerge. So yes. Because we need to of course we need to be together, because the society is different. I don't know when that will change, but I think it will be people are, even I'm surprised, once I joined Wipro and I met few people, these people made me speechless, because the way they have responded to me, the way they are talking to me is very respectable. And so I feel okay, still there is some humanity, there is some hope. People might have might be, they might change in future, but it may take time, but people like you who are trying to how can I say, like, influence the young people and help them, you know. That would be a good guidance, actually. I want our group to, you know, spread across, reach every individual, not our 55 members. I want it to go big, actually, so that if we are in reach with anybody, like, we can do something at least. At least a small help will be a very good thing to, you know, support people. Because when I was having that biggest downfall in my life, I wished, like, I couldn't even talk to my existing friends or anybody, because I was very much scared, like, whom to talk. I didn't have anybody. You trust me, I used to walk in dark places and I used to cry myself. I used to go alone. I don't have any friends to hang out with. But during that time, I couldn't even express my problem to anybody. So this is the problem, this has happened in my life. So what should I do now? Nobody, no, nothing, any, nobody's there to talk or share or whatever it is. So what is the next step? What should I do? Nothing is there. So that is the point where someone, somewhere, some weak-hearted people might get hurt in a scene. So at that point, if someone is there to talk, that's enough. Nothing is required. That's enough. If someone is there, for example, like, if I'm trying to, I'm opening up, you know, for the second time after my psychiatrist to you. So, like, if we have such kind of people in reach, we'll have that, you know, nothing, we won't help anything. Just being there is enough. That's the main thing, right? So when we couldn't talk to parents, we need someone to talk to. That was my, you know, a sick journey. But you know, I'm still fighting. I'm still standing up. So I'm still, you know, settling in. Still, it's my, you know, first month in Wipro. So I, after the gap, I rejoined in the company. So slowly, these people are getting used to me. I just, you know, I had meetings, so I could, I was late, but you know, I introduced myself there also, and they everybody are okay. So even I'll have that shy feeling subconsciously, but still, you know, we need to live. We need to, you know, it's COVID. You have seen COVID era, right? Like,
yes.
Just a span of 1 week, that's it, will go to heaven. So, you know, we have a very small life. Just you know, we need to have a shot. We need to enjoy. We need to live what we want, right? Even though for a brief period, that would be a very good thing to have in your life. We can't we can't come back, and you know, after 50 years or 60 years, what you want to do, we need to do now. That's it.
Yes, that's so true. That's a harrowing journey, and I'm so sorry that you had to face so many things, difficult things, and most of them alone. But we wish that we'll be there for you here from now on. We wish that the same thing happens to other people also who are trying to reach out. Like, if there is someone to talk, that's more than enough most of the times. So if there is,
yes,
someone to listen.
Yes, exactly.
So tell me about this workplace thing. How does it work? Do they treat you well? I mean, you already told me that Wipro treats you well. Is there anything like else you want to add to that? Like, how is the environment conducive to people? Because I'm specifically asking because nowadays most of the companies are branding themselves as queer friendly. But in practice, it is just something of a label which they want to add themselves. But you know, people's prejudices, right?
Exactly. That's a good point, actually. Because I didn't come across any such kind of support in my old company, that is IBM. But in Wipro, what I've seen is they are actually the the leading company for LGBT community. So they have lot of employees who are part of LGBT there. The HR people who have hired me, and the manager who I'm working under, everyone are really, really friendly, because I've experienced it myself. They have taken me very, very, very nicely, very respectful, and there is a community, special community room for LGBT people. And there is a separate course that everyone needs to attend to the course, and they need to give an assessment on that, which includes how to treat every individual respectfully. So that assessment needs to be done by every employee from the company. So so they need, even though they are somewhat having some different opinions on this community, they need to properly understand the concept there, which is properly explained. So they'll at least come to know, okay, we need to be gentle, or we need to be we need to understand this. So we need to work with them. If they are against it, they'll be left out. They'll be a different person in the group, actually, because 99% or 99.9% of the people in Wipro had to accept this and had to walk along. They need to complete that assessment, and similarly the HR people and the group, the LGBT community people, everyone will be in touch with everybody. And there is a self-declaration form in the company where we will declare ourselves as what we are, and the pronouns also. So everyone will follow that particular declaration. And any kind of harassment or any kind of disrespectful events, they can be immediately reported to a separate team. There is a separate team in Wipro. They'll handle these situations very, very seriously. So there is a separate team for that kind of complaints. Like if anybody gets a disrespectful complaint from anybody, that's it, they are done.
Wow, that's really absolutely beautiful. Like I don't know, I have never heard of such beautiful things. All the things which you have told me, it really kindles some hope for us in the future.
Yes, definitely. And there are individual restrooms as well, as per the policy, but I didn't, since I'm working from home, I didn't experience it. I didn't see it myself, but in the policy it was mentioned there. And everything is as per the policy which I've read, everything is written in that way. Supportive.
So they have bathrooms. So they have different like gendered bathrooms, like not just the binary bathrooms, they have other bathrooms also.
Yes, that's what they have mentioned in the policy. I didn't see that personally, but that's what I have read.
That's wonderful, because there is one thing which I am trying or are very indigent about since quite a long time, is the only two gendered bathrooms. What
yes,
about
actually.
The people who don't, who have to choose before going to bathroom? What about
exactly.
them? I, if you ask me to go to a bathroom, I first have to think about which one I want to go and where I'll fit. But
exactly.
This is an amazing thing which I have heard from you. That's really wonderful. Looks
yes,
future really looks hopeful, right?
Yes, actually. Exactly. But I need to, what I should say, I need to inspect that myself, and then I'll confirm it. about
true,
the
true,
background.
true.
Because
Definitely.
because generally what we have like a male female and you know the physically challenged bathroom so people like me will use the physically challenged sometimes so I generally go to the female bathrooms but you know like when we are scared that we may you know face some force against us so in such scenarios we may try to go to this physically challenged washrooms but but as per the policy which I have read they have mentioned like there are several options for the LGBT people as well. So once I get to experience it myself, I'll definitely let you know what is happening there.
Definitely, definitely. Please do let me know.
Sure.
And tell me about this. Tell me about another thing. Like your experiences with transphobia in day-to-day life. Like you're now working from home, living in your own place with your two dogs. Do you face transphobia? I'm sure, I'm like, that's not even a question. That's a given that you will face transphobia somewhere by someone. Can you tell me about it? Can you throw some light about it?
Main problem is, you know, because of my, you know, what can I say? How can I explain? My differences in my body. So I have some facial hair which I'm struggling with. So so I'm a bit you know not confident about that part in my entire entire thing. So if I need to go out or you know face anybody, I need to prepare myself. Because I'm not completely confident about that. If I'm not perfectly perfectly looking or whatever, the society will be pleased of. So, people will be very quick in their judgment, or we can't. We are already fighting for a lot of things in life, and we can't keep on facing these people everywhere we go, right? So we need to be that part, the way we look, and I want to minimize that that kind of reactions from the people or something like that, because you meant this kind of feelings only, right? I mean,
yes, definitely,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So that's a prime for me. As I'm going under this complete transitioning, doctors have advised me that it'll take some more time. So I'm going there, going to all the necessary treatments and all. So hopefully I'll be more confident in the near future. So the second part is my voice, actually. I'll be alarmed myself before talking to anybody sometimes. I'll do a quick mistake which I regret immediately. If I talk to someone, I'll immediately tell them within the first 2 seconds I'm a transgender woman, which I don't feel comfortable. Not feeling comfortable is nothing that I'm against it, but I want to hope you are understanding my my intent.
I totally understand. These are the microaggressions.
Yeah, yeah.
These are the microaggressions which we feel.
Yes, I feel I'm a female. Like whenever I get a chance to select gender in any form or anything, I select a female part. I'll select a woman. I select female, or I I consider myself completely, or not considering, like, this is me. That's what the thing is. So when I'm trying to explain to someone, because they might think something else, so I'll immediately inform them that I'm a transgender, so that I'll try to minimize the reactive, I mean, those responses from them. So that's you know, 50% of effect will be minimized, 50% will be there, because I've mentioned myself as something which I'm not okay with. So that's not a bad thing to mention, but you know, because if after my transition, once I get the ID, it will be mentioned as a female completely, because you know, that's the target of my journey, right? I want to be recognized as what I am. So yes. So in the transition part, like, I need to tell people this. So in that point of view, I'm saying I'm not comfortable, that's it, but I'm not saying that is wrong or something. So so that's one part. So that's about my phobia, like what I have. These two things, just my facial hair and my voice, that's the whole thing. Since I'm living alone, I don't get into people much as of now. I don't have much friends to, I mean, like, I don't have anybody, like, friends to hang out with, because after my transition, I just disconnected with anybody, everybody in my existing thing. So, sorry,
you have got us.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course, I have. Yeah, that's what definitely. Yeah. So that's what, like, I, you know, of course, there is nothing much to do these days, because working from home and, you know, taking care of these two babies is enough as of now. But definitely I want to, you know, hang out with some good people, good human people, you know, like, who have kind heart. I just want to be happy, just be there for them, and at the same time I want them for me. Like, I just want to be happy, and I want to, being happy is the answer for the people who spoiled my life or whatever it is. Like, I want to regain my happy life, because I'm actually very jovial, and I used to be very funny. I used to be very creative, and I used to be good with everybody. But I mean, a happy and happy-going kind of person. So I want to experience that again with my exact life. So that's what I miss, actually. That's it. Nothing much.
I'm sure you will do all of those things. I'm sure. And I want to know more about you also once we meet in person after this, whatever COVID pandemic stops. When is it going to stop? I don't even understand. But okay, tell me about this. Who was your inspiration as a personal idol and as an on-screen idol?
See, actually, if I mean, I have seen this question. I mean, I have heard this question before also. So I was thinking, I actually don't have anybody inspired. I mean, I don't have anyone inspired me regarding this transition or anything. But I you know, I appreciate the people who have attain that dream of being what they are. So I when I go through those stories, or when I see them, I feel really proud of of them, what they have did. One such kind of person is Anjali Amir from Malayalam. She's an first you know, I think she's the first trans woman female lead in you know, I think with Mammootty. She acted as a heroine, single lead.
I heard about this movie.
Yes.
I heard about this movie. I was reading about it somewhere.
Yeah, she's Anjali Amir. Yeah, she really, you know, I feel very much proud about her because, you know, getting what she wanted is one thing, and you know, recognized by the, you know, film industry, and getting into the shoes of a perfect female lead is a different thing. That too in a big production house or big actors. You know, that's a high level achievement. That's actually, you know, that's ultimate actually. I mean, that's what I don't get inspired, but I feel very proud of those people who are you know, achieving what they want in their life. That's very, very nice actually.
So you know, are you?
Yeah.
You are also achieving whatever you want in your life.
Yeah,
please acknowledge that.
Actually, I have one more, you know, secret of my life, that I'm actually a filmmaker before.
Okay.
I'm very much into screenwriting, stories. I was directing films. I was not films, like, I mean, I did some independent films on my own. I had that passion. I have my friends around my in the film industry, but I don't want to disclose the names. But after my changeover, I got disconnected with everybody. So that's my passion actually. But you know, because of all this nonsense happened in my life, and I couldn't properly you know, start a way for my life, I shifted my career to this IT job again, which I used to do partially. You know, before I used to, you know, handle both. I used to go for a movie shoot in the night or evening, and office work in the morning. I used to do double shifts, and I used to maintain all that work before. So now I completely got off the thing, and I just I'm just trying to work now. So maybe in future, after I settle a little bit, I'll again start my work again, and maybe I'll be the first woman director, you know, in the industry, maybe.
And we are so looking forward to it. We are already congratulating you
for
your future movie.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
Thank you.
And tell me one last thing before we wrap up. Do you have any advice for young queer people, like who are experiencing this, like who are able to have the courage to question their gender, like at a young age, like how young I will say, like let us say in teens and all, what would your advice to them to be, will be?
They need, I mean, at that age, whatever they try to whatever they try to make a statement, definitely that would be, you know, suppressed by the elders. So they'll simply say, you are a kid, you don't know anything, that's it. Yes. So what I feel is, like, they need to talk to some like-minded people. They need to know what it is, you know, if they are pretty sure about it, they need to have a you know, what should I say, like a supportive advice. Supportive advice doesn't mean you know, like, see, for example, you know, I discussed with my psychiatrist, a doctor who made me feel you know, comfortable, and I felt very, very comfortable with her, and I and she made me feel nothing, you know, nothing wrong in it, or she showed me, you know, what actually it is. you know, I'm finding difficult in explaining now, but you know, these young people need to have a good guidance, actually. You know,
exactly.
if the parents are very good in response, say for example, if someone says if what they are, if the parents are you know, it's similar to, you know, like I have a girlfriend, I have a boyfriend, whatever it is, they are declaring something in home, then there would be a big discussion and a big you know, father and mother will cry, they'll be beating the kids, and such kind of scenarios will be there, right?
Yes.
So yes. If the kids are very comfortable in expressing whatever feelings they have with their parents, the parents are very easy in taking those things and trying to have their you know, tell them the you know, positives and negatives about it, like what they are actually undergoing properly. Like if the parents are the first friends to understand, then the, you know, the kids would be blessed than anything. Like they'll be very happy in their life. Yeah, starting at that age, if parents are very helpful, then they don't need us, actually. They don't
How
need
about trans? How about transgender elders?
Yeah, transgender elders, I definitely consider that only they need to have a better understanding about their transition after effects. That's it. If their body, you know, completely, you know, what can I say? Like, if their body responds to the transitioning medications and all, then they are happy to go ahead, and they need to consider only that part regarding their future health. Other than that, they need to be happy. They need to do what they want. Because if they are elders and if they are trying to do some transition at that time, they have lost a lot of life till then. They have suffered a lot till then. So at least that time they are trying to realize something. They want to do something. So they need to have a support. People like you know, you and our team, the people. As we need to be there for their you know, sharing or help, whatever they need. And if they want, seriously, if they want to do something with their life, they need to do it immediately. As I told you, we have a very short life. I personally experienced it because I've seen in COVID time.
Yes.
The people I've known, like three of their fathers were passed away within weeks. So later on, what I realized is even we are not sure about how many days we are going to live. Even if I try to postpone my feelings or whatever it is, if I'm trying to be in a box for a long time, what I'm going to achieve in my life after I get sick, whatever it is, I can't do anything during that time. Even if our close ones are sick also, we try to focus on them, right? We can't focus on ourselves anymore. So when we have time, when today is a good day, it's a good day to enjoy. That's it. We need to be happy. If today our closed one, our loved ones are fine, and you are fine, let's have a good time. If tomorrow our loved ones are sick or you are sick, we can't do anything, right? So elders also, they need to focus on themselves at least now. Just keeping in mind that they need to take care about them internally, all the medications which they are going to take, that needs to be properly, you know, administered by the doctors, and they need to be sure, and they need to have the second opinion as well, and
be very safe in that part, because that shouldn't take their lives away. They need to be happy. There's a target for them. So if the medications doesn't work, who cares? They are what they are. They'll be happy however they want to be. So that's what I want for the elders.
That's a wonderful thought. That's a wonderful thought, Manisha.
Yeah.
It was wonderful talking to you. And I don't know, what should I say? It's wonderful. It's really wonderful. There are many things which you told me about, many things about workplace, how it is changing. My cynical view has it has mitigated my our world view by in a way that I think that there is no good places anywhere in the world, but you have so much hope, you have so much the hope which is shining in you like a flame. It's really amazing. It was really wonderful talking to you, Manu.
Thank you, Vikram. I feel the same with you. Hope thank I found you. People finally, so I mean your team, and I mean like our team, it's very nice actually. So I want I want you guys to spread over, and we need to reach many people that we are there. We need to make some a big sound actually, you know. We need to be there everywhere. We need to grow up a lot actually. We need to reach every individual. I feel that we need a lot of publicity. Yes. We need to reach everywhere.
We sure will. And on that word, I'll take your lead, Manisha. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Take care. Bye.
So today's artist is Shea Diamond, a 43-year-old lady, American singer, songwriter, and a trans activist, born on 17th March 1978, so most probably Aries. Definitely she is a fighter though. Born in Arkansas, inspired by Tina Turner in her musical career and Whitney Houston. At 20, she robbed a convenience store at gunpoint to pay for her gender affirmation surgery. She had been in and out of correctional facilities where she was humiliated, isolated, and misgendered as a part of punishment. So imagine imagine the correctional facilities and what goes on there. This song which we are going to feature, I Am Her, was written by her in the prison. Since then, she had multiple other hits and appeared on multiple award shows with many artists since then. Wishing her all the luck and love, and please do check her out. Thank you and enjoy the song.
Tell the race for
So that's all for today, folks. Remember, until next time, have fun, be safe, hold on, and never, never, never give up or give in. And if you want to reach us, you can always reach out to us at queernilayamhyd@gmail.com.